That itself is an object lesson. Trying to carry everything and everything's constantly dropping out, right? Is that not just who we are in life? Wow. I couldn't help but think how much more the children would hear that if it was as many lollipops as there were grains of sand in that. This morning we're switching, we're changing direction. We were in Exodus last week, and this morning we're in the book of Hebrews, where we alluded to Hebrews last week. We're now going to read the opening verses of the letter of Hebrews. It's the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. Because it's a letter, if it helps you, and I would certainly recommend this, maybe opening the Bible in front of you, it's towards the end of the scriptures, it would just help you find your place. I'm still going to try and help us navigate, but it is a letter, and it's easy to lose track of what was that. So let's pray that God would open his word to us. Lord, you know exactly where we are right now. Not just our physical location, but our whole self, our mental, our emotional, everything within us. You know us exactly in this moment. And you know what we need to hear. Even if we don't know, we need to hear it. We pray that your word would be a blessing to us. Not that your word is not a blessing, we know that it is, but that in this moment we would be blessed. We pray your spirit would guide us through your word, and that each of us would take away a nugget that helps us draw closer to you. We pray this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So I mentioned last week that Hebrews is different than the other letters in our New Testament. It opens differently. It doesn't begin with the addressee and to whom it's addressed. It's very different. And I mentioned last week that scholarship or thinking is starting to shift and ponder whether or not this might actually be a sermon of sorts. That maybe it's not so much a writer, but a preacher. And so with that in mind, I want you to hear the opening direction that's given in these first four verses. The Word of God reads this way. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, in our house, we used to play with words. And there's that, maybe you can relate to this as parents. As your children grow, there's that time where you feel like you have to give something that shows that you're just still a little bit more smarter than they are. You know, they're moving fast and they're learning a lot and they're asking you questions that they're learning in school. And you remember learning about it, but you don't remember the answers anymore, you know? So you've got to come up with something else that shows that you're on top of your game. And so we started to play with things like long words. So we threw this one at the kids. Anti-disestablishmentarianism, you know? And they're like, how do you spell that? Anti-disestablishmentarianism, it's not as complicated as it sounds. It's really what it means is it's the people who are against the people who are against establishments. You hear that? So those who are against establishments, this is about those who are against establishments. Well, like I said, it was an effort to try and stay ahead. It's a long word, and we thought we were doing pretty well until, well, you know, Nathan. Maybe I should just say Nathan, and that would be enough. But Nathan went to school, and he and his friends started playing with it, and he came back with this word. Hippo monstros sesquipedaliophobia. That's what I made of it. Hippos and monsters and feet. I don't know. It's a long word. It's like 45 letters. It's crazy long. But what it really means, it's the fear of long words. Why do I do this? Why do I go into this? Because the opening of Hebrews, these four verses we just read, in Greek, it's one sentence. It's one long sentence. And we, in a visual world now, with so much visual stuff coming at us, are not used to as many complex sentences as our predecessors. We're just not in a mindset to take in a long sentence. We really kind of stop where we started in first grade or so forth. See Jack run. I mean, we're kind of happy with verb, noun, and we're done. But long sentences become compounded and difficult to track. What is it about? And that's what we have going here in these first four verses of the letter to the Hebrews, or perhaps the sermon to the Hebrews. These four verses are trying to set the overall stage for the whole letter or the whole sermon. And so I'm going to try and break it down for us, try and not overcomplicate it, keep it somewhat simple still, so we can track the purpose of it, because I suspect if we were to take a quiz right now, pass out a piece of paper, and ask you to write down anything you remember from what we first just read, you might be drawing some blank or hoping someone else has some better listening skills. So, moving forward, what was said? First off, it starts out, long ago, at many times, and in many ways. Long ago, at many times. That kind of sounds like the things we're familiar with, once upon a time, or even a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. These are the ways we have kind of an opening to stories or narrative or even fantasies. But the book of Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews, starts a long ago at many times and in many places. It's a way of setting the stage, saying, you know, back then, a long time ago, and here's what it's saying, God spoke to our fathers, or another way of saying, to us. Long ago, God spoke to us in a way that he spoke to us through the prophets. Long ago, at many times and in many places, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. The prophets. This is how God communicated with us. This is how God shared with us what he wanted to say. And the important thing to remember is that God did speak. That God was active in our lives. The writer to Hebrews is pointing out that God has been active in our lives from the beginning. This gets away from the whole concept of deists, the idea that there is a God, that God kind of created everything and then just kind of walked away and watched to see what would happen. No, what's being said here is that God has been involved. He's been speaking to us throughout history. The writer, the preacher, is saying God has been speaking to us speaking to our fathers, speaking to our generations through the prophets. And he goes on to insert that little nugget in many ways. And there are so many different ways in which God chose to speak through the prophets. The Old Testament is full of countless examples of surprises of how God would speak to us. You can just draw a few to mind. The idea that suddenly Moses finds himself in front of a burning bush and God speaks out of that bush. Or speaking out of a cloud and thunder and lightning. Many different ways. But the point is that God has been present speaking to his people. But the preacher, the writer, knows that people understand this. This much is a given to the people he's writing. He's not writing anything new. He's taking something they know and we know, and he's hanging on that for a moment, and he's saying, but something's happened. Something's happened. In these last days, there's a shift. Long ago, galaxy far, far away. No. Now we're talking about these last days. In other words, in our present time, or in the days that we now live, there's been a shift. And the shift is that he's now speaking to us through his Son. Through his Son. Now, if you're tracking, keeping with it, and again, the struggle with this is a letter. This is long, and it's complicated, and it's compounded, and it's not beyond us to understand. It's just not our normal way of grasping things, and we much prefer stories. How many of us would like to just go back to last week and consider the story with Miriam and watching, you know, baby Moses? We've got a story we can attach to, but when it's a bunch of words, we kind of lose track. So again, in summary, the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, God spoke to us in the past. God spoke to us in many different ways, and sometimes it was crazy ways. He spoke to our fathers, which means he spoke to us. God has been communicating since the start with us. But there's a tremendous shift, the writer is writing. The preacher wants us to know there's been an enormous change that we now still live in. This incredible shift is that it's no longer through the prophets, it's now through God's Son. God is no longer speaking through other human beings through whom God has been sent them as a messenger to speak. God has now sent his Son, the very Son of God, to be the one who speaks to us. And then we get this. A list. You know, like a grocery list. Lists are important, but the type of list tells us a lot about what we're dealing with. Like a grocery list, if I was to, and this happens to me sometimes, maybe you too, when you're cleaning up around the house, you'll find a grocery list. Have you ever found a grocery list laying around? You find a grocery list and you look at it like, do I need this? And all you have to do is start scanning the items on it. Some of the items are the items you get every week, right? But some items are unique, and you realize you can put that in time and say, oh, that was when family was visiting and I had to get this extra item. And so you can, you know, let go of that list. Lists tell us something. When we find lists in the scriptures, they tell us something. I used a grocery list. You could do the same thing about anything. You know, today we're in the time of politics, and the news is constantly bombarding us with what our top issues as Americans are right now. You know, the economy, the border, immigration, and on down the list. And going back in time to different presidential elections, you'll see that list is different. You'll see that the issues that were most important to people are different depending on what presidential cycle you're in. You could look back in the church life. Go back through our heartbeat, through, you know, go back decades and see different lists and things summarized, and you realize what was important to us at one time that's not maybe as important to us now. So the writer, the preacher of Hebrews is saying, look, long ago God spoke to us. He spoke to us through prophets. He's been present with us. But now he's speaking to us through the Son, and now he gives a list in reference to his Son. And this list tells us something of what was on the hearts and minds of the people. Because this list is going to start to talk about the attributes, the gifts, the abilities, the skills of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we could sit here and make our own list about who Jesus is and all his attributes. We could make up our own honor list of why he's wonderful. And it would far exceed the number of things that are listed here. But these things are listed because the writer isn't quickly just throwing down a bunch of the Son and, oh, we got to talk about how good he is. Listing things that are particular to the people at that time. And they can be summarized as two things. Things and glory. Things and glory are the, underneath those, the two categories of things and glory are these attributes of the Son. Now, I said this was important to the people at that time. I would suggest to you, nothing has changed. The preacher is speaking to the Son having attributes relevant to things and glory. And that things and glory are still very much on our minds as well. And understandably so. If we go all the way back to the beginning, when Adam and Eve would walk with God in the garden, when we go to their, what do we call it, a misstep? What was their misstep? But that they saw that the fruit that they were not to partake of, when they saw it was good, when they saw the thing and saw that it was good, the thing, and what they'd been promised by the evil one, by the serpent, was that if they partook of that fruit, they would be like God. Glory. I don't think anything's changed. I think the writer of Hebrews, or even the preacher, if you will, is opening, saying, in a similar way that we have movies that open like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, or there's a quick summary of our condition, our situation. And the summary is simply this, that God created us, but he didn't leave us alone. He's been speaking into us ever since we messed up. He's been speaking to us through the prophets. But things have now changed. In these last days, the days that we now live, God has shifted from speaking through the prophets and is now speaking to us directly through his Son. And this is what he wants us to know about his Son, under the things piece. That his Son was made heir of all things. In that list of items that we just read through, he is made heir of all things. In other words, he's the one through which everything belongs to him. Everything. And in case we can't quite hear that point or believe it, this hammers home that point and says, because after all, everything was made through him. In other words, everything belongs to the Son. Everything has been given to the Son. He is the heir. He is the one to inherit everything, including us. And in fact, everything, including us, was made through him. He was there at creation, and everything is through him. So everything, all the things we think about, everything is his. Everything belongs to him. I mean, we have funny conversations about church and how much do we give and tithing and things like that. And we have hard conversations about, the idea of a tithe, for example, you know, giving back 10%. And usually the next question, is that before taxes or after taxes, right? But the part that we're forgetting is the idea of the 10% is it was all God's to begin with. We're just giving back what was His to begin with. When the Israelites would bring their first fruits, the first and best from their produce, from their garden, they were bringing back to God what was His to begin with. All the things, everything belongs to Him. The writer, the preacher, is trying to reshape our mindset and recognize that it's not just about saying, hey, God spoke to us in the past and God's speaking to us now. There's a shift. It's no longer the prophets as much as it is the Son. It's more than that. He's building up why. Why this shift has happened. And he's starting with something that's very important to us. Things. I mean, you see the pictures up there. Things. And he's saying everything is under His lordship. It all belongs to Him. But He doesn't stay there. He moves to our other pressing issue. The glory that we all seek. Now, I'd like to think I'm humble and that I don't seek glory, but it's not true. All of us spend a whole amount of time trying to build up an identity that is presentable to others. We're always trying to figure out what our social capital is. Or if someone doesn't know us, have you ever had this happen? You meet someone you haven't met before and they want you to really believe what they're saying and they're telling you, and so that they'll do is they'll give you a list of all their previous accomplishments, why you should listen to them. They'll go through all the things of why they're important. There's a glory there in us. And what the writer for Hebrews says is simply this concerning Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. The radiance of His glory. The idea that, you know, when the sun, have you ever watched the sun come up over the horizon? It's so bright, you can't look at it directly. That's the word, radiance. He is completely God's glory. It's not the hope for glory that we had when we partake of that fruit, thinking that we'd be like God. He is God. He's the exact imprint. There's no mistaking. And then goes on to say, and all things, the power is through Him. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. So, what it's saying is, and the author of Hebrews is simply saying, long ago, God spoke to us. He's always been speaking to us through the prophets. But now God is speaking to us through His Son. And His Son has all things and deserves and is all glory. The two things we're after all the time, things and glory, those are Jesus. They belong to Him. And here's what the buildup has been for. If you've been tracking with me and you haven't lost track, here's what it was all for, to say this. That He took all that, being Lord of all things, being the one who is all glory. He took all that and He went to the cross for us to purify us from our sins. He took everything that was rightly His and all the glory that is rightly His, and He gave all of that to purify us from our sins. What the author, the preacher wants to say is, in the start of this letter or this sermon, can't you see how much better off we are now? Long ago, God was speaking to us, but we were still struggling. Now God has sent His Son to speak to us and free us from all the things that bind us, to free us from that ever-searching for glory. And instead, His Son has gone to the cross and purified us of those sins. And He now has gone to sit at the right hand of the Father. And that His name, because He's done that, is so much greater than the angels, so much greater than anything else we can think. The book of Hebrews goes on from this point to talk about how much greater off we are over and over again because of what Jesus has done for us. That we've been freed from our sins. We've been freed from what binds us. We've been freed from that which separates us from the glory of God. It's one of the reasons that Jesus with His disciples took this meal of deliverance, this meal that was a reminder way back when the Israelites were in Egypt, when the whole situation with Moses and stuff, and they're delivered out. He took this meal that was a reminder of God's deliverance, delivering the people out of Egypt. He took this and He made it so much greater than the meal that it was already. A meal reminding them of God's delivering them from a people at one time. And Jesus took this meal and said, oh, you don't understand. It is so much greater than that. I'm now going to be delivering you from all your sins and delivering you into the hands of God. And so He takes the elements, the bread and the wine, and He redefines them. He says, the bread, that's like my body that I'm giving up for you. The wine, that's like my blood that I'm shedding for you. Things are so much greater because you are now welcomed home through Jesus Christ. These last days are the days we live in, the days that are so much greater than our forebears could ever imagine, because we no longer live in our own strength. We live completely in the strength and the glory of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Help us, O Lord, to realize once again what You've done, that You freed us, that You freed us from all of our fears. Help us to realize, O Lord, that You have taken away our sins and washed us clean. And help us give You all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the peace and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.